about.
The Brazilians have the same word for making love to one woman as they do for making love to two. Magalish. Take off your top and say it with me.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
You know, a lot of people will tell you about the Dodge Durango's available Hemi V8 engine and 360 horsepower, but I'm the only one with the guts to tell you about this glove box. 0.1 cubic feet of storage. 12-volt light bulb, all in beautiful injection-molded thermoplastic olefin. Comfortably fits two turkey sandwiches or 70 packs of gum. Say what? Look, I'm not lying. Gum for days. Is this a gumball machine? No, it's a Dodge Durango.
And now,
as a reminder, swearing is prohibited. If you cannot express your opinion without using foul language, I encourage you to leave. Bye.
Our feature presentation.
Best commercial ever, right? And Will Ferrell is one of a kind, man. He knows how to make anything funny.
Say what?
That's my favorite thing.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday and the 28th of January.
So how long do you think Ali and DJ Omar Khan have been doing it?
I don't know. I didn't see this one coming, but...
Yeah.
Omar, you know, emailed us all, wow, feeling really crappy, can't come in today.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ali did the same thing.
Right, so, minutes later. Like, it was a coordinated effort. Like, that way they can both get to the plane on time.
I assume they're meeting at, you know, somewhere today. Probably early, right? And they're going to fly to, is it Vegas?
Well, I think they'll take tomorrow, too. So who knows? With that four-day weekend, who knows? They could be in Rio de Janeiro by now, you know? But they're clearly doing it. I mean, that was the first thing we all saw. We see two co-workers mysteriously calling sick at the same time within a few minutes of each other. I think it's pretty obvious what's going on here. Right?
I think it's pretty obvious as well.
I'm concerned that my sound didn't work on the thing, though.
Yeah, we noticed that the music bed wasn't working.
There it is, and now it's working fine. But it wasn't working before. It was playing. It was volume was up. It was playing, but there was just no sound.
Take another run at it. Let's do it again.
Aren't computers just the best?
Yeah, they're either 100% the best or 100% the worst. Well, when they don't work, it sucks.
We'll fix it in post. By the time it hits the air, it'll sound great. Here's an interesting story that was posted on Reddit yesterday from a user there in Los Angeles who goes by the username of M Fiasco. He was tired of getting his car stolen. He drives a POS, and his car had been stolen numerous times. So he decided that he was going to do something about it. And the thing that he decided to do was that he was going to leave a note inside his car to appeal to the senses of the person that was going to be stealing it.
So they'd get in, get ready to hotwire it or whatever, and then they would see this note and go, oh.
Hello, the note begins. Typewritten. There's a picture of it on his post. If you are reading this, you are probably stealing my car. I'm a nice person and likely would have given you a ride, but obviously we're past that. Now, that's a great start, by the way, because it's so disarming to now put a human face on the person who owns the car. Yeah. Now the guy who's stealing the car knows, wow, this is a nice guy, and he's the kind of guy who would have given me a ride.
Yeah.
Man, I'm a dick.
I don't think that guy stole the car just for a ride, though. I'm guessing he stole it either for money, you know, or to sell off parts. You don't steal a car just to go to work one day.
I don't know. It depends how crappy this car is. It's possible it's worth nothing. So, I'm a nice person. I likely would have given you a ride, but obviously we're past that. I would love to afford a car that doesn't get stolen and burglarized all the time, but I'm broke and this is what I'm stuck with, so you got me again. You're probably not going to get in trouble for stealing my car. As long as you don't F around and kill a pedestrian, you'll just leave this somewhere and go about your business. No one investigates this tomfoolery. One quick favor. Please do not leave my car somewhere where it will get towed. If I have to deal with one more effing impound lot holding my stolen S Honda for ransom, I'm going to lose my mind. And my car, because I can't afford to keep bailing it out of car jail, if I had any money, I would just go out and buy a goddamn car that wasn't constantly getting stolen in the first place. This sounds kind of therapeutic, by the way. He's really working through some issues here, isn't he?
This is weird to me, though, because I would think people would steal nice cars, not POSs.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I don't know much about stealing cars. We'll have to ask Dave about that. But the nicer the car is, maybe the harder it is to get in and the more things you have to disable. And maybe it's just easier. These older ones, like you said, or you can just easily hotwire. Please just leave my old piece of S car in a neighborhood or something. There's a note in this envelope. Just stick it on the dash or under the wiper. A passerby will see it eventually and call me, and then I can come get my car. In other words, he left his phone number on a piece of paper so that it could be, you know, so that somebody could track him down.
Right.
No cops, no questions asked. I'm not even mad at you. It's a win-win. I don't have to deal with police reports, insurance claims, and tow trucks, and you don't have to feel like a jerk for ruining the month of a nice person. There are countless safe places to leave this thing. Drive the car, take my first aid kit and emergency supplies in the trunk. My stereo is worthless. And just leave this mother effer in front of someone's house when you're done with it. Thank you. Enjoy your ride. P.S. If you don't mind committing another misdemeanor tonight, feel free to go throw a brick through the window of blank towing. They are literally the effing worst. Thanks and have a good night.
Wow.
Shortly after, the man on Reddit reported that someone did steal his car, but the car was later returned, and he thinks maybe his sarcastic yet tender little note may have had something to do with it. So
I think that was well done.
I do, too.
It's almost like, all right, look, I'm cool. You took it.
Right.
Let's work this out.
Right.
And work
together. Let's make an arrangement.
Yeah.
Look, you get what you want, but there's no reason my life has to be ruined because of it. So just be cool, and we'll be fine. So he says the car was stolen and was later returned. And, I mean, I can't imagine the note didn't have something to do with it, because whoever brings a car back to the place where they stole it, right?
That's pretty awesome.
So anyway, I don't know if that's useful for anybody, but this guy tried it, and it seems to have worked, and it's probably a happier ending than him getting that phone call from the tow company again and having to go down and bail. I mean, if you're super broke and you can't afford a car, the last thing you want to be doing is getting that call that now you owe another $80 or whatever it is because your car got towed.
Did you say it was in L.A.?
Yes.
Yeah, because most cities you could just, you know, get a bike or something, but not in L.A. You can't bike to, you know, 75 miles to work.
Right.
Well, that's a weird story with a weird ending. I like it.
Very creative.
I like it. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeach show, shall we?
Hey, what does it feel like to be such an asshole?
At times, it's a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
We have Jillian Bell and Charlotte Newhouse in studio.
Yes, we do.
They are the stars of Idiot Sitter on Comedy Central, which is awesome. That's a really funny show. Jim Rome's on the program, talking sports, got a lot of stuff to talk about. We have Dr. Drew, and we're going to tell you that we're all going to die tonight because of a new virus.
This new virus, the Zika, by the way. It's Zika, right? Not Zika? Zika?
I don't know. Z-I-K-A, yeah.
It's been all over South America and on its way to America. Just this morning when I woke up, the first case has been reported in Europe. We have survived lots of different crazy things that were going to come kill us. You know, we were all going to die from the bird flu. We were all going to die from the monkey flu. We were all going to die from the mad cow. I mean, there's always something coming. We do live in an age where a pandemic is right around the corner. So today is our day to really, really terrify people.
Because we're all going to die tonight. So
right.
That's important. Also on the program today, we have a brand new internet roundup. And we have Bean is going to tell us about the best job in the world for Bean.
The best job in the world for Bean.
So most of us wouldn't like it, but just because of who you are and what you like, this appeals to you 100%.
Yes.
Right.
If I were smart enough to have thought of this job, I would have created it. Yes.
All right. Plus, we have Jensen Karp on the program today, who we love. There's a Kanye West beef going on Twitter, and you know how we love our Twitter beefs.
So well, Jensen is our hip-hop correspondent. He's the one who keeps us surprised of what's new in the world.
He's the best. So that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatdown. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
Quick reminder, once again, we want to send you to Amsterdam. That's to see Weezer, by the way, as destination number 2 of the K-Rock World Tour 2016. All the details at KROQ.com. Your chance to qualify coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, once again today here on K-Rock. Hey, Ralph Kramer.
Stop the presses. Stop those presses.
What? What?
Breaking
big?
News. Stop the presses. We have to change the...
And now a breaking news bulletin.
We have to change all the typeface and we have to reprint the front page.
We don't run a newspaper. This is a radio
station. I'm in the wrong place then.
What happened? What broke?
All right. Give me some music. Kanye West has changed the name of his new album.
Wow.
Yeah,
this
right?
This is huge.
Up until this week, it was called Swish. But he has now tweeted that the new title is Waves. Waves.
Yay!
Waves.
W-A-V-E-S.
Waves.
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 Okay.
Yeah, whoop. Waves.
Okay.
Yeah, whoop.
Okay.
Waves.
It always seems like if somebody's making this like an announcement that they're changing, it's to something unique or good or better or makes sense. Or
why is that better, do you think? Like, why does he? Why do you think he changed it from a thing that doesn't matter to a different thing that doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because Kanye said, don't worry, Waves is, and here's his quote, the greatest album of all time.
All right.
So we've mm-hmm. so it doesn't really matter what the name is. Right?
Right.
Right. He is the Donald Trump of music.
He really is.
The greatest album of all time, he has declared.
I think he said earlier this week, Ralph, if I remember correctly, it's not the best album of the year. It's the best album of the life.
Yes. So there you go. Judge for yourself on February 11th when the greatest album of all time is available for you, the fine listeners.
Is he smart enough to do that kind of thing? So, and then everybody wants to buy it to hear what he thinks is the best album of all time. Like, he'll get more sales because of it. Is it possible?
I don't think anybody buys that line.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody says, oh, crap, if I don't buy this album, I'm going to miss out on the greatest album of all time. There's anybody who's buying into that hype?
People
are going to buy Kanye, and then the people
not,
who
right?
aren't.
Yeah.
No matter what he says about it.
No, but I think if he says that, then you think, oh, well, Kanye's done some really good stuff. And if he really believes it, there's a possibility.
But if you think Kanye's done good stuff,
yeah.
wouldn't you check out his new
Which
stuff
I do. Yeah.
regardless? I don't like Kanye West. I'm not going to buy the album. If he said it comes with a free Hummer, I'm not going to get the album.
But it's named Waves.
I mean the car, of course.
No. Yeah. not
whatever you perverts are thinking about. It is Waves, though. I wasn't going to get Swish, but I will pick up Waves.
That's weird.
He's the worst.
He's the best.
Congratulations to Tia. Nope. Let me try that again. Pia Toscano.
Ooh.
You, of course, may know her as the voice of the LA Kings, singing that national anthem for many of their games.
She's their go-to.
She is heading to the altar. Her boyfriend, Jimmy R.O. Smith. That's a bad name. He changed that to Jimmy Waves Smith. He popped a question a few months ago, and they are very happy together. And they just had a big engagement party at Planet Hollywood in Vegas. Why, you may ask? Well, here's the thing. I did not know this. But the couple has a very cool boss who set that all up for them. Her name is Jennifer Lopez.
Hmm.
Did you know Pia's a backup singer for J-Lo?
Did not.
Her Vegas residency and her now fiancé, Jimmy R.O. Smith, is a dancer in that show.
How about that?
So there they go. They're together working for Jennifer Lopez. No word on whether Jennifer was at the party or not, because it was a very, very full party. It was packed with industry people.
Right.
And, of course, both of their families were present. It was not a large
room. But the
room
wasn't big?
No, it was sort of a smallish ballroom where they had the party. So they said, really, they could not have squeezed one more person into that room.
Pretty packed, huh?
It was very, very, very packed.
Full of people.
So full of people.
Not much room?
It wasn't at all, Bean. I'm glad you asked. But what happened was they looked around.
Yeah.
The size of that room, even filled with bodies. I mean, it was tight. It wasn't a lot of room in
was
that.
The fire marshal concerned
he
at one
was,
point
was
because
concerned.
There were so many people
they
there.
They were thought they may have the event may have been over attended
right,
was their concern. But then they realized
yes,
upon further reflection.
Uh-huh.
That there's always room for J-Lo.
Yeah!
Right. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Felt kind of good.
Alan Alda is 80 years old today.
Oh, Alan Alda.
Yes, that's what I said. What? Alan Alda. You know him, of course. From
why that reaction?
Hawkeye on MASH for all those years.
He's a national treasure. You know, I told you I saw that Bridge of Spies a couple weeks ago, and he pops up in that, and you go, you know what? Thank God Alan Alda is still alive and still acting and still awesome, because he's great.
He was great on The Blacklist. Remember, he was the
On The Blacklist.
The leader of the cabal early on there in that show.
Yep.
Sarah McLachlan's 48 years old today. Somebody buy her a puppy. Puppies are just shut up.
these dogs are sick. Help them. They're in cages.
Just get one then. Just have your own. Stop it. Joey Fatone of the NSYNC fame, 39 years old today. Elijah Wood is 35, separately. J. Cole, the rapper, is 31. Will Poulter, talented actor from Maze Runner and The Revenant, is 23. And actress Ariel Winter, you know her as the young daughter on Modern Family. She's all grown up now, 18 years old.
Wow.
Oh, Bean's been waiting a little bit too long to ring that bell.
Hey, I wasn't sure how old she was, so I was waiting until I heard an age before I hit the appropriate bell. But
you didn't have to hit it with such...
Yeah, you wrecked it.
Such veracity.
You really destroyed that bell.
I was pretty backed up waiting for this one.
See, now I have to go shower. See what you've done? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Foo Fighters. That's a band. And a good one.
Right?
That's how you should start your day. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:08.
Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you coming up later this hour. And fun with masturbation in the 7 o'clock hour, too.
Is that the official title? Because
I don't think we've worked that out. So, but there are some good masturbation stories in the news that I think it'll be fun to talk about and get our listener stories. So last week, Kevin, I was in London all week. Brought to the show. It probably didn't sound much different to the people who are listening, but I was I happened to be in England, and while I was there, I went to visit the BBC. Now the BBC is, you know, it's a big deal to me.
Oh, of course,
yeah. It is, you know, it's the most popular radio network in Britain, and I had a guy who invited me to come visit the Radio 2, which is my favorite station of all of the BBC radio stations. They have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 2 is my favorite.
Bean's a total radio geek too, so this is super exciting.
Yeah, going in there and seeing where the magic is done and has been done for 80 years was a huge thrill for me. So I'm standing there and I'm talking to somebody in the music department at BBC Radio 2. And I says to the guy, I says, I got to tell you, I was so impressed last week with the coverage that you guys had on the air about David Bowie after he passed. I mean, it was just unbelievable how much material they had and interviews they had and pieces that they had prepared. And I said, I couldn't imagine how you guys scrambled to do something like that. And he said, oh, no. He said, we have a guy who's in charge of obituaries for BBC Radio.
So, wait.
And I said,
what? Before people die?
Yes.
Before they die.
Yes. There's a guy who runs a department, and his job is to prepare obituaries and obituary radio packages for people every day of the year before they die. So his job, and I'm shaking my head as this guy is explaining this job to me, because I'm thinking, oh my God, has anything ever been more perfectly in sync with my interests than BBC Radio preparing obituaries, right? So I said, wait a second. So this guy doesn't come in after somebody dies and says, what do we got? This guy comes in like tomorrow and says, who don't we have an obituary for? Hey, you know what? I haven't written one on Bill Gates yet. That's going to be my job today. And he starts preparing material that is ready in the event that Bill Gates dies. And every single day of the year, this guy's job is to work on obituaries. How perfect is that?
For you.
Well,
right?
Well, yeah. But yeah, I mean, talk about something that would be fascinating and interesting every single day and different every single day. But still also combining my two great loves, which are radio and death.
Bean does love death, and that's weird.
I do love death. That is actually true, yeah. So now I'm in the awkward position of having to try to figure out how to kill the guy that writes the obituaries.
Is that how you want to go about it?
Well, that's one way I could play it.
Right.
But this guy—
Do you think he's written one for himself?
I hope he has. If he's any kind of expert, he should have. But now I'm thinking this guy's got to be on high alert. I mean, this guy is super tuned in to death, so he's probably going to see it coming. I'm going to have to be awfully crafty to slip up, you know, to sneak up behind this guy and kill this guy.
A lot of people, by the way, stop us when we're out and they say, "Oh, is Bean really? I thought you were exaggerating about every single time we do something." We're like, "Yeah, no, Bean. When we say Bean loves death, Bean loves death." He super loves it.
But it's not like and I think people misunderstand that because they think I'm a morbid person, and I'm not at all. And I'm not into, you know, people – I don't want to see somebody die in a painful way. I don't want to see, you know, a grisly end. But like this week, for instance, you know, the great Abe Vigoda passed away. And maybe for some people that's just a passing, oh, that guy used to be on TV, right? But it has been so – it's been such a deep dive for me this week to read all about Abe Vigoda and all about his life and all about things that I didn't know about Abe Vigoda. You know what I mean? And where he lived and his family and his kids and the things that he did, you know, outside of acting. I mean, it's been really fun. I mean, there's something about examining a person's life that
right.
I think is interesting, because everybody, no matter – and I, by the way, I'm also fascinated with the local obituaries and the, you know, local papers of people I don't even know, just regular people, because every person has a fascinating life. Every person has a fascinating life. I
really?
Mean that sincerely. Yes. Every time I read an obituary on somebody, I go, wow, that is really interesting that that person did that or went there or had that happen to them or something like that. Everybody has interesting things that happen in their lives, and you don't know about those until they're gone.
How much time did you spend after Bowie? I'll bet a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because and the thing about Bowie is – and the think pieces on Bowie are still coming out. Like Bono just came out 2 days ago with his Trent Reznor wrote a beautiful piece on David Bowie. I mean, I'm nowhere past being done with David Bowie's
right.
death right now, because, I mean, it was so influential to so many people. And it's just, you know, I really have enjoyed reading the appreciations from people over David Bowie. But when I found out this job, man, now I thought, you know – I've had a lot of ideas for after K-Rock, and now I don't know if I'm putting beekeeping on hold, if I'm not going to get to that Taylor Swift podcast, because that was one plan. Remember, that was going to be my next gig, was
Bean
just a
said,
full-time Taylor Swift podcast.
When I have time, I'm going to put out the best Taylor Swift podcast in the world.
Yes, I
am. And he was that excited, and he was serious.
But now, though, is there ever going to be a better job for me than writing obituaries for the BBC?
Now, you're going to go there, I assume. No one does that here?
I don't know. I mean, look, I'm
Maybe
sure that they,
TV stations do or whatever.
I'm sure that the New York Times has a file that has major celebrities ready to go. But I doubt seriously that they have a guy who will walk into the building today and go, all right, today it's Tom Hanks, and now I got to start working on Tom Hanks. Because, you know, that's a guy who's not, you know, we hope isn't going to die for 40 years.
Right.
But you got to be prepared, you know? And I think the research for something like that and the preparation, although I will tell you, it'd be pretty awkward for that guy to be making phone calls, you know, for background on some of these people, because, you know, Tom Hanks' wife would get the call and she's like, what the hell are you calling me for? He's like,
yeah.
Well, I'm just preparing, just getting set, you
just
know.
Just getting ready.
Just getting ready down the road. But I will tell you, it's like a light bulb that went off over my head when I thought, who knew at this stage of the game I would discover that there is a job that is so perfect for me and something really to strive for if I can kill that bastard.
What about delivering the mail?
Dude, I'm just
What about working at 7-Eleven?
I've just one man. I can't do it. I can't do it all.
So this There's is above just, all of those?
I think so. I think this is the new. New number one. Yeah. So, something to strive for.
It sure is.
Our old friend Larry Flint is back on the news. He is he's one of the most prolific pornographers of the 20th century. Still going strong, running the Hustler Empire. They made that Woody Harrelson movie with Courtney Love, People versus Larry Flint, about 20 years ago. It was so good. Remember somebody tried to kill him, put him in a wheelchair one point? That's how much they hated what he was publishing in Hustler magazine. But he is in the news right now because his company is apparently, reportedly, thinking about buying the Playboy Mansion. Now, that just has to be a personal dig to win over Hugh Hefner, I would think, right?
They sort of battled their whole lives, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, Playboy was the biggest magazine of its kind in the world, and then Hustler came around and just got so much dirtier, and Hef always hated what Hustler did. And Larry just seemed like a guy who just loved to, no pun intended, just prick Hef. And now they're talking about selling the Playboy Mansion, and one of the things that Ralph reported last week is that whoever buys the Playboy Mansion, Hugh Hefner comes with the property. He gets to live there until he dies. Even if you paid a couple of $100 million for this mansion, Hugh Hefner still gets to live there.
That's insane. I've never heard of that before.
Yes.
Somebody's going to spend $200 million and has to take on Hef?
Yeah, it's a 20,000-square-foot Playboy Mansion on 5 acres of prime property. Built in 1927. Hugh Hefner has owned it since 1971. So I don't know how much of this is just posturing between the companies, but we thought, you know what? We got a good relationship with Larry Flynt. Let's get him on the phone and find out what he's got to say about it. Larry, been a while since we talked to you. How are you, sir? Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Well, we're doing fine. Anything to this chatter that maybe Hustler is interested in buying the Playboy Mansion?
Oh, absolutely. We're interested in buying it. For sure.
Okay.
And we're, you know, crunching the numbers and putting it all together and deciding if that's a purchase we want to make or not.
Now, is this just to upset Hugh Hefner or one-up him?
No, I don't even think twice about it.
Okay. All right.
No. I just think the location...
Right.
Has been famous for sexy parties for so many years.
Right.
That it would be a place where a great location for the Hustler Mansion.
Right.
And make it the base of operations for the Hustler clubs and also, you know, bringing sexy back.
Right.
Have some parties out there.
Yeah, so there you go. So you would throw the big kind of parties and probably, you know, they've kind of been kind of tame in recent years under Hugh Hefner.
Exactly. You know, at one time, it was known for having a lot of sexy parties going on there, but now it's mostly just backgammon tournaments for guys in wheelchairs and respirators.
Seems like sort of a waste.
Yeah, so, you know, we're... Well, I mean, the asking price is ridiculous.
$200 million.
Yeah, there's no way that any reasonable person would pay that much for the property.
Okay.
But you know, we're preparing our offer, and of course, Hefner has to go.
He says he comes with the property. He actually lives there till he dies, even if you buy it.
Yeah.
Is that a deal breaker?
I don't want to share a bedroom with Hugh Hefner.
Well, there's 29 rooms
I have enough trouble with my own colostomy bag. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
I don't think you'd want to do that either.
No.
But so you're not going to let him stay. You're going to kick an 85-year-old man out on the street and make him find another place to live.
Absolutely. And also, we're asking that they also have to take Bill Cosby and his pill bottle with him too, because we were up there the other day looking at the property, and Cosby's behind the floorboards with a bottle of pills just waiting.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
All the time.
Yeah.
So, well, that's understandable.
Our due diligence at the house. I was up there the other day and. We were doing some tests. We had the EPA come in and test the water in the grotto.
Oh, yeah. Oof. How was that?
Oof. Oh, it's like they're calling it a stage 7 cleanup.
They're
bringing a hazmat team and some scuba divers and dredge the bottom of the jacuzzi.
Yeah, probably hadn't been cleaned in a while.
We pulled up 4 bodies.
Four bodies?
Wow, that's unfortunate.
We think they're bodies. We're not sure.
Oh, man.
And we ran some DNA tests in the game room.
Yeah.
And we found samples of DNA of the entire Harlem Globetrotters basketball team.
Is that right?
Well,
every member they've ever had.
All of them, yeah.
All of them.
That seems gross.
Especially Meadowlark.
Right.
and there's a lot of hidden passageways and stuff in the house.
Right.
You have to kind of go through. I decided actually, I'm here. I didn't want to say it in case anybody found out, but I...
You're at the mansion now?
Yeah.
Oh.
I wanted to see, you know, how accessible it was for me to get around. And
okay.
I'm going to check out the wine cellar now. There's stairs down to the wine cellar. I'm going to check out and see what kind of wine cellar it is, because I like to have wine.
You can't navigate the stairs, though.
Look down there.
Larry, you're in a wheelchair. You can't...
Larry.
No, come on. Tragic. That's a long fall.
Hey, Kaz, what's up?
Our producer Dave, the King of Mexico, joining us in studio. Hey, Dave.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Nice batch of Internet Roundup videos. Let's see what you got.
It's the Internet Roundup.
Best viral videos of the week in one location at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Dave puts them together for us every weekend. We start in Florida. This is a video that you really should see, and I got to give it up to these kids. They're at a swim meet in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, all right? So they're in their lanes and swimming mostly, you know, underwater, and all of a sudden this pelican lands on the pool and starts jetting around from lane to lane, and none of these kids stop swimming, Dave. That was really impressive, wasn't it?
Have you ever dealt with a pelican?
No.
They are mean. They bite.
It is a huge bird, and they just swim right underneath it and keep on going. But you can hear in this clip, the audience is a little bit surprised by the visitor to the swim meet. Hey, man, get out of my lane.
Hey, man, get out of my lane.
Pelican. This video is called The White Room. This guy wakes up in a white room. There's nothing around him as far as he can see except white walls. And there's a guy sitting across from the table. And he realizes, oh, my God, I'm dead.
Okay, did my dad love me?
Yeah.
Is my grandfather here somewhere?
No.
What is the craziest thing that's ever happened in the entire universe?
David Blaine.
Did my girlfriend cheat on me?
No.
Does she know that I cheated on her?
She does.
Will I go to hell for that?
Yeah.
What?
What?
Am I actually dead?
Okay, no.
You cheated on me?
That's right. You're on an episode of Purvatory, the show where we catch real-life cheaters with fake afterlife confessionals.
See, they made him think he was dead, and then he confessed that he cheated, and now he probably is dead by now. I don't get what the chickening is about, but this is one of those crazy ideas that somebody just had where they were going to take an old movie, in this case The Shining, the Jack Nicholson classic from the 70s, and re-edit it into a story about working at a chicken factory. You kind of have to see it to believe it. And Dave, you were saying this has had some kind of critical release. It's been showing around festivals and stuff. People have been digging it.
Yeah, the Fantastic Fest in Austin and at Sundance last year.
All right, here's a little bit of the chickening.
Red rum. Oh, sorry, I meant burger. I'm dyslexic, didn't I tell you?
Okay, check.
Ever since we've moved here, you've been acting more and more like a chicken. It's too much pressure. The volcano sauce pipes is gonna blow.
I don't get it either, but it's bizarre, and you should check it out.
Hey, Bean. When I watched that, I immediately thought drugs.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you ever wanted to know what being on acid was like, that's it in real life.
Yep. Honest Trailers is back. You know, they can make even great things seem weird, and they basically are pointing out here that TV's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on ABC is really nothing but a commercial for the Avengers, and they make a pretty convincing case.
You thought he was dead, but now he's back. Because this show needs a lead, and Sam Jackson was too expensive. But Agent Coulson's not the only non-Avenger on board. Watch as he assembles a crack team of the best non-movie characters available, like Sky, a.k.a. Daisy, a.k.a. Quake, a hacker slash inhuman who's the closest thing this show has to an actual superhero.
The best non-movie characters available is a good way to describe
That's
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's very funny, and I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I like that show.
It's very funny.
Seth Meyers does not very often end up in the Internet Roundup with a viral video, but he did a great job last week with something he calls the Boston Accent Trailer. This is a movie basically about people in Boston, and it's a shame Ali's not here today to enjoy this and all of their very annoying accents.
With the upscale Kennedy-type Boston accent.
I am the mayor of Boston. I was elected to clean up this town, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to get my hands dirty.
The townie who says the word bro in every sentence.
Bro, don't tell me to chill out, because I'm cranked up, bro. And I know where you live, bro. And bro, I know where you work, bro.
Seth does a really good job with all of those accents, too, by the way. He's very Boston. All right, here's a guy. I think he found a turtle, maybe? Rescued a turtle, it says in the subject line of the video. But he's very, very excited that this turtle is about to take his first steps in front of him. And like you asked, Dave, who videotapes their turtle taking its first steps? But he is every bit as excited as a man can be, and then he tries to get his girlfriend to be as excited as she is, and she just rolls her eyes at him, and I think it's kind of tough for him to take.
It's about to do it. Oh. Oh! Come on. Oh! You see it? Don't even care. Freaking kid, I've been doing this for an hour.
He's been doing it for an hour. He's mad at her for not caring.
Yes, after he spent an hour waiting for that turtle to boo. All right, Kevin, here's your favorite video of the week. This is a guy who comes into his living room, and this is actually shot through one of those Nest thermostats that have cameras in them now. And he has a spider on his coat and doesn't realize it until he does. And then listen to this grown man freak out about a spider and how much fun his little girl has realizing that daddy is scared.
Like a little girl, you're funny.
I felt them on me.
I wish I had that on me. Oh, we have
that
video.
Wow, that's tough to listen to.
It is hard to listen to.
But yeah. It's a spider, guys.
Look, everybody.
You don't understand. It's a spider.
Not everybody. There are a lot of people who are afraid of spiders. I don't know that I've ever seen a reaction like this.
Yeah.
I mean, he freaks.
Go throw one in the office right now, Christina. You'll see one. Yeah.
It was on me. All right. Here's the strangest video of the week. This goes back to 1989, but it has recently resurfaced. This appears to be an infomercial with a bunch of kids in it talking about how much fun it is to play the kazoo. You know, the little musical instrument that you hum into. It's a 30-minute video, you guys, called You on Kazoo. Here's just a little piece of it.
Look, my kazoo. Me to kazoo with them? Wow!
I don't think kazoos are coming back.
Oh, yes, they
Xbox,
are. On this show,
way.
We're going to start a kazoo band.
I'm not positive.
And that's our new game for every music giveaway we have. Kazoo.
Okay.
All right. And finally,
something tells me Dave watched all 30 minutes like five times.
I think so. Pretty pumped up on kazoos right now. Last week, Sarah Palin, the former governor of Alaska and future vice president of the United States, came out and endorsed her old friend Donald Trump for president. And it was a bizarre speech, but somebody has taken it and turned it into, believe it or not, a country EDM remix. Like, this is the stuff that nightmares are made of. Sarah Palin and Donald Trump.
Just chill, and drill, baby, drill, drill down, left and right. Down from behind, then I give a hallelujah from Alaska. You betcha. Then I give a hallelujah from Alaska. Yeah, you betcha. Yeehaw.
It's really well done.
You laugh, but this time next year, that could be the new national anthem of the United States. You can see those videos at krock.com right now or kevinabean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
It's the Internet Roundup.
What a 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:55.
That means it's time for our friend Ralph Garman and another look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. Good morning, Ralph. What's going on?
Donald Trump has now famously decided he will not participate in the GOP debate happening on Fox News. Not going to do it because Megyn Kelly's going to be there. Remember, she asked him once, you're a little rude to women. And that's when that whole hullabaloo happened with her bleeding out of somewhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
It was good times. But it doesn't kept him off Fox News completely. He used an appearance last night on the O'Reilly Factor to speak about his feelings about Megyn Kelly and the Fox debate. He said to Bill, I have zero respect for Megyn Kelly. He said, I don't think she's good at what she does. I think she's highly overrated. And frankly, she's a moderator. I thought her question last time was ridiculous. Because he didn't like it. He didn't like the question.
Right.
So it's ridiculous. This is my favorite part of the time spent on the O'Reilly Factor with Donald Trump. Bill O'Reilly tried to get him to reconsider his boycott of the debate, saying he's missing out an opportunity to say the following. You're a pinhead. You're off the mark. Only Bill O'Reilly would think Donald Trump's not being rude and insulting enough. You're missing out on a chance to insult Megyn Kelly, Donald. What are you thinking? You can go on this very important debate and make fun of a reporter.
Step
which
it
is
up.
What America needs. What the hell?
I hope Fox is going to put... Is it Fox, did you say?
Fox News.
I hope that Fox News has a place for him and his name tag, but just... He doesn't show up. I hope
they say they're not going to do that.
Oh,
they're not going to do that.
On.
Not going to give it. It's so funny. It's almost like Fox went to Bill O'Reilly and said, look, this debate without Donald Trump is a ratings disaster. You've got your job is to talk him into coming to the debate. Tell him whatever you got to tell him. Just get him there.
But to suggest that he's missing out on an opportunity to call Megyn Kelly a pinhead on television, that's not what you really want in a political debate, is it?
No.
He didn't say, you're missing out a chance to talk about some important issues of the day. Donald's like, no, go in there and call her a pinhead. That'd be awesome.
Is that something he does a lot, pinhead? Bean, you know, you watch him sometimes.
I don't watch O'Reilly.
Oh,
so
oh yeah, O'Reilly. Oh, yeah.
Go-to words, pinhead?
Yeah, that's an O'Reilly word, yeah.
Oh, it is, okay.
This is great. It's all great.
It really is.
Trump did not buy into Bill O'Reilly's reasoning. He said Fox was going to make a fortune off this debate. Now they're going to make much less. So there.
Here's the only thing I'll say about that. Honestly, people tune in because Donald Trump is going to be on it. I think he's right that they make a lot of money because of him.
But if you're a presidential candidate, is it really your concern about how much money the network is or isn't making regarding your debate? Or should your focus be on, I want to present my point of view to the voters and therefore show how separate I am from these other candidates?
100% what you just said.
Right.
But I can see how Donald thinks, oh, they're making a ton of dough because I'm there. I can see how he arrives at that decision, which of course is a bad one. But I can see it.
Well,
do you think the ratings will go down if he's not on?
Yeah. Television insiders
Absolutely.
Say that with no Trump in the debate, Fox could lose millions in advertising. However, they will save millions on fact checkers. So it's kind of a wash, really, at the end of the day, because Donald plays fast and loose with the details sometimes. Congratulations to Willow Smith.
Now what?
She has a new designer sock line.
All right.
What's going on with socks where we need to make designer socks so much? Have you ever gone sock shopping? Oh, I don't really like the design on this sock. I need something a little bit more fancy for my fancy sock party I'm going to tonight.
Now,
who's spending less time looking about designer socks?
This isn't the wacky socks, is it? Like with Santa Claus on them or whatever, where they print a bunch of that stuff? Because those are popular. Is this real socks, do you think?
Well,
like just better quality?
No, they have designs on them. They have nine styles, nine different designs that show Willow's personality.
Oh, no.
Says the sock line.
Oh, no.
Which is entitled Miss Daisy.
Is one of them her whipping her hair back and forth?
No. One is a kaleidoscopic dreamscape in pastel hues with whimsical streaks, stripes, trippy patterns, and flowers.
Okay.
Socks are all priced between $12 and $16, so they're affordable socks. They're socks for the people. The socks the people like.
Sure.
King of Mexico says he is big into designer socks.
Right. A lot of people are.
That's all you need to know.
And is wearing socks with monkeys and bananas on right now.
Yeah.
Who are you wearing those for? Who are you wearing the designer socks for? Is it for you? So when you get in the morning, you go, oh, look at me. I have socks with monkeys and bananas. That makes me happy. Is that what Dave says in the morning?
Probably. I don't know. It's a big thing with kids.
If you're getting joy out of your socks, you need to look at your whole life. You need to step back and take a look at the big picture. If you're buying socks to bring joy into your life, you're missing out on some major components.
Socks are cool, man. Don't hate. Appreciate.
Oh, f*** you. No, socks aren't cool. Socks are things that keep your feet away from your shoes.
Ralph, don't hate. Appreciate.
That's what I heard.
Whoa, socks are cool. See, that statement there, that alone, demonstrates the level of inanity that we have to deal with on a daily basis. Oh, I'm going to get a kazoo and play it in my socks, because socks and kazoos are cool.
Hipster Dave has showed up strong today.
Open up a blog.
It's the worst.
I know I am the furthest thing from fashion forward, but I have two kinds of socks. I have white socks and I have black socks.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
That's all you need.
Shout out to Stan Socks. They're dope.
All right. The level of attention to clothing that Dave needs to get to before he can worry about his socks is a litany of pieces of clothing he should reevaluate before he's worried about what his socks look like.
I think he's happy with the way he looks, and that's shocking.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Alan Alda. He's 80. Hawkeye. He's 80. Sarah McLachlan's 48 years old today. Joey Fatone celebrates his 39th birthday. Elijah Woods, 35. J. Cole, the rapper, is 31. Will Poulter, talented actor from The Revenant and Maze Runner, 23 years old. And actress Ariel Winter is 18 years old today. She recently was on television talking about her breast reduction surgery because she believes it's sort of a taboo subject. No one talks about it, and she wants young girls who are embarrassed by or physically uncomfortable with their large breasts to be able to think about this procedure and deal with it. And she says she's so much happier now than she was when she was over-endowed.
But not all girls should rush into that, though, right? They should definitely give it some time to think about it. I mean, there's no hurry.
I think they should make that decision without Bean's input at all.
Oh, I think that's a given.
Okay, yeah. Good.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kanye West is a grown man, right? He's almost 40 years old. His Twitter meltdown yesterday over Wiz Khalifa was one for the ages, though, wasn't it?
Oh, so sweet.
Unbelievable. So we'll talk to our hip-hop correspondent, Jensen Karp, coming up later this hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. First, though, masturbation in the news.
Oh, excuse me, Ricky. Ricky, I did see what you were doing.
Uh-oh.
It felt good, didn't it? It's all right. We all have feelings like this sometimes.
Please go away, Mom.
I'm just glad you're doing this in the privacy of your own room.
Can we talk about this later?
When you're a little bit older, we'll have to talk more about
all
these
right,
feelings.
All right, older, later.
And what causes them, and how we can control these feelings.
Can you give me just a couple of more minutes?
I'm sorry I intruded on your privacy. I'll be sure to knock next time, okay?
All right, Mom. Get out! Get out! Look, there's a place to do it, and maybe there's a place not to do it. And we got a couple of stories involving masturbation today here on the Kevin DeBede Show. The first one...
Apparently, you're wrong. There are no places not to do it.
Well, that's a good point, Kevin. That's a good point. The first one is a publicity stunt, and they'll be the first to admit it, from a company called Octopus. Now, what is this? What kind of company is this? What do they do, Kevin?
I think it's a toy company.
Toy company. Yep. Okay. They unveiled what they called a Guy-Fi booth. It's in New York City. It's at 28th Street and 5th Avenue, and it's an old telephone booth, basically. And they have it outfitted with a black curtain and a folding chair and a laptop computer with Wi-Fi internet there.
High-speed Wi-Fi, it says.
High-speed Wi-Fi, right. And it's the Guy-Fi booth, and apparently, although they admit that masturbation in public is illegal, they said that that's why they put it up there. You know, that's what the booth is up there for.
It's a masturbation booth.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Because you know how it is when you're walking down the street in New York and the urge just hits you and you can't go another block without taking care of business. In a recent Time Out survey in New York, by the way, they concluded that 39% of men in New York admitted to masturbating while at work.
39%?
That's... That's a lot of people who read that and thought, that's happened where I work. That's going on here.
I need to step up my game.
Yeah. So that is thing one, is the Gai-Fi booth in New York City is a place. Kevin, I'm going to let you explain place number two where masturbation is in the news. And then we want to take calls from our listeners. It's been a long time since we've done this. But we want to hear your stories of places you've done it or places you've seen other people doing it. That's what we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067.
The man's name is Clifford Ray Jones. He was 58 years old. There was a car accident, and the authorities responded, and what they found was the 58-year-old man, the porn was still playing on his phone.
Ooh.
That he was apparently sidetracked by. He was supposed to be driving. He was watching porn on his phone. Then he got in an accident, and then when they showed up, they found out he also had no pants.
Oh, while he's driving,
yes.
He's got no pants on, and he's watching porn on his phone at the same time.
Yes. And died in the crash. Now, I feel like that's not the way you want to go out necessarily, but there's worse. Right? Fire's worse.
How many of those details do you share with his widow? About what happened to her dear sweet Clifford, who just left to go to work that morning and now is dead. What do you
it's in the news everywhere. I can't imagine. I can't imagine being her. He's 58. He's wearing no pants while he's driving and watching porn.
Now, you've mentioned a couple of times that he's 58. That's a surprise to you because you feel after a certain age you've got it under control and you feel like you should be able to wait to get someplace?
I would think so. It seems like something, you know, a stupid college kid would do that's a little drunk. You know what I mean? Like, it just seems like it's that type of thing.
Yeah. I don't know what you're thinking when you think that you can drive like that, though. I don't. I guess you're not thinking. That's what happens. So he did, and as far as we know, no one has died in New York at the Gai-Fi booth, but we are looking for your calls of places where you've done it or places where you've seen others doing it in public at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our man Mike? He could be exactly who we're looking for. He's in Long Beach. He's on line 3, and he's going to get us going here on the Kevin DeMeacher. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling.
How you doing, man?
Good. Just a warning. Everybody knows what masturbation is, so we don't need any details on that. All right? All right.
No kind of description as to what goes where. All right. Mike, what are you calling to say? So you're going to get your first call. You're going to get us started. What's up?
No, it's a normal thing. I mean, when you got to take care of business, you just got to take care of it. The key is the time of day you do it. I mean, I've done it at work a lot of times. You don't want to go, you know, right after lunch into the bathroom because it's pretty, you know, the traffic just won't help you out. You go around 1:30, between 1:30 and 3, you know, you got the whole place to yourself. You just go in a stall. It's like going pee. You just take care of business, clean up, and you're done. Wash
your
hands and get back to work.
So this is at your business. This isn't even a bathroom where you have a door that you just close and it's just one stall in there? I mean, you're actually
I actually work in a professional occupation and, you know, in an office building, and there's obviously a bathroom for everyone to use. You just go, again, between 1 and 3 o'clock, no one's there.
Uh-huh. Such specific rules.
I mean,
5 till 1, you're screwed. There's a lot of people in there. But 1 o'clock, it clears out.
And no one has any idea. How many days a week do you think you do this, Mike?
I've done it, you know, during the time when my girl and I are in a fight, maybe twice, 3 times a week, you know.
Mm-hmm. 3 times a week.
But typically, I mean, I would say maybe one at least once a month. I mean, you know, my libido's pretty strong, so I got to take care of it. So,
is this something that you would get fired for if somebody found out, you think?
No, I don't think. I mean, I've never heard of anybody getting fired because of masturbation. I probably would be the first. I mean, knowing my luck, it would probably happen.
Look, well, here's the thing. As an employer, I would think, look, Mike is going to be sidetracked all day. So his afternoon is going to not be productive. So I would be in favor of that. I would say, go take care of business and then come back and do some work.
There you go, man.
All right.
All right, Mike. Well, I guess keep doing what you're doing.
You're doing good work. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls are next.
The following program contains adult language and subject matter. Viewer discretion advised.
Well, we are talking about fun with masturbation here on the Kevin and Bean Show. A man in Michigan, 58 years old, got himself killed in a car accident after he was driving with no pants on and watching porn on his phone. Not a great way to go, but we thought it had been a while since we've taken your stories on where you've done it or seen others doing it.
Mitch tweeted to us, by the way, watch porn while driving, check. Masturbated while driving, check. Everyone does it. That's what he says.
Thank you, Mitch. Appreciate that. Let's try Trisha, Pasadena, line 5 to get us going here. Hey, Trisha, thank you for calling. And how much did you enjoy the beautiful 7 Years song while you were on hold?
Oh, I actually really enjoyed it. Thank you. It's a good song.
All right.
Okay. What can we do for you?
Well, I would just like to share where I like to masturbate. Okay. I also like to do it in the car. It doesn't matter what time of day. It could be 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right after work, and I'm driving down the freeway. And I just really enjoy it. I'm just good as an exhibitionist. So.
Oh, you're an exhibitionist, so you hope people see you.
Absolutely. It's such a turn on.
So it's more exciting for you to do it that way than to wait the 30 minutes until you get home and it's private and it's safe because no one's watching.
Yes, it's so dull that way. It's way more exciting if, you know, I pull up next to a trucker and give him a thrill. Awesome.
Okay.
And what freeways do you take to get home?
I will not be sharing that information. Thank you.
Thank you, Trisha.
Thank you, Trisha. We appreciate you listening. Speaking of the truck driver in the lane next to her, let's go to John on line 1. He's in Whittier. He might be that truck driver.
Hey, John.
Hey, what did you, nephew?
Hi there. Thanks for calling.
How often do you see a Trisha out there on the road?
Oh, man, you see them all the time. And, you know, you got truck drivers out here doing the same thing. And it's really dangerous because, you know, you got to think, you know, they're hauling a lot of weight and stuff like that. But, you know, maybe they can't wait to, you know, can't wait to use nature shake weight, you know?
So, John, if you're out on the road for 12 hours in a day, are you guaranteed to see somebody every single day or is it more infrequent than that?
If you're looking, I guess you can see them all day, every day. But, you know, if you're actually doing your job, I don't think you can see them. Go ahead.
What percentage would you say are guys versus girls?
You know, I think that I would say it's about 60-40. But,
wow.
You know, but the girls, you know, they tend to pull up their shirts more than anything. That's really common.
I need a truck drive.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're flashing you because it's making their day fun and they know it's making yours fun too.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing too, you know, at night it's pretty dark out here and you'll see a car pull up next to you and they have their, you know, their roof, their map lights and everything.
Oh, they turn the light on specifically.
Yeah, and then so you're like, "Oh, you know, what's this person doing? They're cruising next to me." You look over and they're just going to town, and you're just like, okay, like, you know, and it's never you know, anything, like, flattering, so you're just looking over there, and you're like, this is awkward, and, you know, sometimes if it's really bad, you kind of, like, act like you're swerving a little bit, and they take off.
All right, well, we're going to let you go deal with whatever that is, but thank you for the call, John. We really appreciate you listening. All right, let's go to Robert. He's in West Covina. He's up next. He's on line 2. Wow, look how many calls we have, Kevin. We can go all day on this.
Robert, hi.
Hello, how you doing? I guess a lot of people will be going to see Trish in Pasadena
now.
Yeah,
no kidding, right?
Sounds like it, right.
Yeah. Well, hey, I used to work for a bank that's no longer around anymore. And
did you say a bank?
Saturday,
a bank?
Yeah, this was at a bank but a processing center.
Okay.
And what happened was that some of us were working in one department. The bathroom was going through another department. So when every so often we had to go to the bathroom, we had to go through the other department. And there was this one cubicle with a girl that had candy in the bowl. Well, I was going to the restroom, and apparently when it happened, I heard something. I'm like, whatever. So I decided to go to our girl's cubicle, get a candy out of her bowl. I see a dude right there masturbating.
In her cubicle. Was she there?
No, no. Huh. There was nobody in that department. That department normally does not work on a Saturday.
I got you.
Yeah, yeah. So you stopped by for some candy, and that's not what you were expecting, was to see that dude.
Yeah, yeah. I actually just turned around. I said, okay, great. And then come back on Monday, and I told somebody, and I go, and they said, that dude's not here today. And I feared that dude never came back again.
Oh, he was too embarrassed to return to work. That's awesome.
Maybe he wasn't even an employee. That'd be funny. Just pulled over, needed some space.
Thank you for the call, Robert. We appreciate that. Let's do one more, and let's make out our little friend Ginger in Culver City. She's on line 8, please.
Hey, Ginger.
So I work at a tanning salon, and the hours were kind of funky. We'd work like 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the afternoon.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to leave work, you know, for like 1 or 2 hours. So I would stay in the tanning salon to have lunch or what have you, and sometimes I would get bored.
Right.
And I'd do it in the tanning salon, in the lobby.
Like you do. Like you do.
Wait, did you say in the lobby?
In the lobby, there was nobody there. The
yeah, they're closed. Oh. Okay.
Until I found out that the owner had video cameras.
Oh my! How many times do you think you did that before you realized he had the camera?
At least 5.
Wow! And did he find out about it? Does he know?
Yes.
Did he call you in and show you the video?
No, I found out by another coworker.
Did you get fired?
I did.
Oh, that's ridiculous. This is a normal thing to do, people.
Come on.
What is wrong with you?
Woman's got urges.
Right. She should get a bonus.
I insist that you come work on our show instead, Ginger.
Sounds good.
We'll see you tomorrow.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
I so love Twitter beefs. I love it so much. Twitter beefs are the best. They're just the best.
Our next guest is the owner of the Gallery 1988 locations on Melrose. He is the former million-dollar rapper known as Hot Carl, also a podcaster, writer, producer, artist, manager. He is Jensen Karp, Kevin and Bean's hip-hop correspondent. Hit it, Steve.
Jensen Karp, your flow is so tight. You rock the mic right. I can't believe you're white. Jensen Karp, come on, blow up the spot. The world-famous K-Rock, let's talk hip-hop.
Jensen, yesterday was the first Christmas of 2016 for you, wasn't it?
Oh, it was beautiful. I also go by Beef Correspondent.
Oh, Beef Correspondent.
Beef Correspondent. Okay, very good.
Which is also my other name here at Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, so Kanye versus Wiz Khalifa. Before we get into what happened yesterday, the history between them, does it go beyond the fact that Wiz is now with Kanye's former girlfriend?
This whole thing is Black Dallas. It is the most dramatic thing with love triangles. It has been going on for such a long time. Yesterday we saw it sort of start to bubble up, and it was magnificent. Magnificent.
You love it like I do. It's just the best thing, right?
It's unbelievable. I mean, this goes back to the idea that Kanye and a girl named Amber Rose dated in 2008 and 2010. Amber Rose was a stripper when Kanye first met her and sort of brought her to the limelight and to the forefront, sort of like a King Magazine Maxim sort of model out of nowhere. And they broke up in sort of a public way, and then she started dating Wiz Khalifa, another rapper from Pittsburgh. And that's sort of where the undercurrent of this entire thing is, because as we know, if you're sort of an alpha male and someone is dating your ex, you can't just let it pass.
Right, right. And the relationship between Wiz Khalifa and Amber is pretty serious, and they have a child together, right?
Yeah, they were married. They divorced as of recently, but they're also one of those couples that keep reappearing as possibly still together all the time. And also, obviously, they're together because of their child. And so Kanye in the past has said just disgustingly slut-shaming things. I mean, during a radio interview, he said that when he started dating Kim Kardashian, that Kim made him shower 30 times before they hooked up because of Amber, as if Kim Kardashian is a nun.
Right, sure. Right.
All right, so yesterday this thing explodes on the internet, and it started with something as innocent as Kanye West making the announcement that he was changing his album title from Swish to Waves. Now, why was that a big deal in Wiz's world?
Well, this is not the only change he's made. This is like the third album title change. This thing is sort of the Chinese democracy of hip-hop also. Right. It's just the dates keep getting pushed back. And so what happened is he said that the new title is Waves. Why this bothers Wiz is not 100% understandable why he's taking it up as a cause, other than the fact that there's an underlying beef about his baby mama. But what it is that another rapper named Max B., out of Harlem, who's currently serving 75 years for a burglary and murder attempt, has been using the term wavy in his music for years and years and years. It's just a term that he sort of came up with. It's just sort of the way rappers come up with their own slang. And so Wiz took sort of had a problem with it and said, this is Max B's word. Kanye let that pass kind of for a little bit of time. And then next thing you know, it triggered Kanye into a very, very dark place.
And that's what we want to hear about.
Yes. So basically, Kanye sort of immediately says that he doesn't, you know, what do you think that because I'm one of the best artists in the world, I'm not going to go after you. Also, around the same time, Wiz Khalifa said, I'm going to hit this KK to relax myself. Now, when you read that, I think Kanye, being the most selfish and egotistical person in all of the world, thought that was about Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian, right.
Yeah, in truth, it's a weed strain. So Kanye got very angry for no apparent reason, and he started sort of claiming that all of Wiz Khalifa's style was bit from Cudi. Second, your single was corny as F-word, and then basically just started ripping him apart. You've distracted me from my creative process, which will now forever be a meme, but that was a tweet Kanye sent towards Wiz Khalifa. But, you know, there's 25 tweets. No one's ever listened to your albums all the way through. You let a stripper trap you. That's a reference to Amber, obviously. I know you, Matt, every time you look at your child that this girl got you for 18 years. You know, it's just over and over. But the one thing that people should really stick to is that Kanye did say that he went to his Twitter page, to Wiz's Twitter page, and screen-grabbed those pants and sent it to my style team, hashtag Wiz wears cool pants.
And he meant that sincerely as a compliment, or that was another dig?
Oh, no, he meant that sincerely as a compliment. And then later would say, I'm sort of jealous that you're tall and skinny. I wish I was tall and skinny. I mean, it's all just the weirdest. It truly, Kanye West is the first person to have ever won a battle while having a stroke.
So what about Kanye? I know you are a huge fan of his, Jensen. You've spent a lot. And I also know that he owes you $300 too, by the way. But
he owes me $300, yeah.
What's going on with a guy who's almost 40 years old, who clearly has a lot going on in his life? He's a very talented guy, by all accounts, with a very happy family life. Why does this get under his skin so much that he feels like he has to spend an entire day typing stuff on Twitter toward this dude?
I think that, I mean, my relationship with Kanye goes back to when Kanye lived with his mom, didn't have a song out, was really just a producer. And Kanye, more than anyone I've ever met in my life, believes that he should be heard. Even back then, we used to sort of go to lunch, and he would start rapping at the waitress for no apparent reason, and the waitress would be like, I have other tables. He believes he should be heard at every table he's waited on. He believes that everyone should understand that he's known that he was going to be this famous for years and years and years. And I think that when you try to stifle that in any way, shape, or form, Kanye West is going to take his ball and go home. And I think that's what you see.
He surprised us in a big way. He popped into the studio one day when we were wrapping up our show and we interviewed him. And I'm telling you, looking in his eyes, you're absolutely right. He 1,000% believes that he is a genius and that everybody needs to be paying attention to him. And you almost get under his spell. You almost go, yeah, I guess you're sort of right. I don't know. It's so weird how strong he believes that.
He believes so strongly that he did disappear yesterday. I mean, this is sort of the major headline. We buried the lead a bit. He tweeted, and then disappeared when Amber Rose tweeted at him. And we think, I mean, I don't know. Do you guys know what she said to him? I mean, I'm trying to figure out the cleanest way to say it.
Basically, she put a hashtag on a tweet at Kanye suggesting that he enjoys ass play.
Yes, that basically...
That was her role.
it wasn't even the meanest thing. She just said, you know, now that I'm here, are you going to stop tweeting, you know, because are you mad because you don't get that anymore?
Right,
from who you're with. And then Kanye stopped tweeting altogether.
That shut him down. Isn't that something?
That was it.
What about at some point, and I'm trying to figure this out too, as mad as Kanye was when he fired off that 25 tweets in a row, then at some point he kind of gets into a mopey mood where he's like, I love Wiz and I love all people, and the album is really a gospel album and it's all about positive energy and blessings. I mean, it's almost like he calmed down a little bit at some point, right?
Well, you know, it's very easy to make fun of Kanye, and it's also very hard to get the $300 back. But what I will say is this. this is what I'll say about Kanye. I will say that, one of the reasons we like him so much is the duality of the man, which is the idea that he can be both conscience and talk about things, you know, like Jesus Walks, and then at the same time have a song about, called Gold Diggers, which is just sort of this diatribe about how women will use you.
Right.
He has two sides to him, a yin and a yang, and you see that constantly. Unfortunately, he goes through them in three-minute spurts. But when he does, they're just interesting. And the idea that he can be the most annoying man at one moment and the world's most talented man at the next is what will keep Kanye West in these beef reports for 20 years.
Now, how likely is it that the new album that's coming out in February is not only going to be the album of the year, but as Kanye says, the album of the life? What are your expectations for the new record, Jensen?
Listen, he might mean that we have to wait a lifetime to hear it. That doesn't mean that we're going to hear it on that date. A lot of people that are close to the project say it's actually not done. You know, this is one of those men. People talk about how rich they think he is. I'm under the impression that this man runs through money. I mean, you know, the label's not paying for all of them to go to Hawaii to record for 4 days. You know, he basically, all these extravagant things that he does is sort of Kanye's dream come true, and so he's sort of living it out. So let's see if the album actually does come out. But I do like one of the songs that came out. I mean, we don't know what's really going to be on the album and what isn't. There is a rumored song called Her Best Years. That rumor is that it's about Amber, but we'll have to see if that actually comes true.
So the beef actually ended with Amber? With her tweet? Because I'm upset at her then, because I like those to keep going.
Well, when the butt play gets brought up, it does sort of make everyone run out of the room. But here's the thing. Some things did happen this morning already. Max B, who's in prison, released a song that he did over the phone, over the payphone at prison. That song sounds as good as it sounds. Wiz yelled F Kanye at a show last night. And then comedian, and I think friend of the show, Theo Vaughn, it was announced that Amber did his podcast yesterday.
All right.
So all three of those things happened this morning. So this isn't over by any way. It's just whether or not Kanye wants to admit that he likes rear end moves.
I love that Max B released a track from prison, by the way, because that's the exact plot line earlier this season when Lucius did it in jail on Empire. It's real. I love it. I do
like the idea that I worked with Kanye and I sort of have beef over the idea he owes me $300 and it's taken me 10 years to put out a song. Max B has beef with Kanye and does it from jail 30 minutes later.
All right. Well, you can follow this on Twitter, by the way, with our friend Jensen Karp. He is Jensen Clan, that's with a C, the good kind, 88 on Twitter. And don't forget 1988.com for the gallery stuff to get up on this podcast, the web series, Baby Talk, and so much more. Just find it all online with our friend Jensen, the Kevin Abean beef correspondent. Thanks for the time, sir.
Hey, the job picked me. I didn't pick it.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin Abean Show at 7:54.
We'll talk sports with our friend Jim Rome coming up just after 8, and then Jillian Bell and Charlotte Newhouse will be here from the very funny Comedy Central series called Idiot Sitter. That's all coming up first. Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday morning.
What are you laughing about? Did I do something wrong?
I'm just laughing because just before we went on the air, Kevin said that celebrities should not be able to tweet because they're just not good at it.
No. That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I said I love Twitter because it gives celebrities direct access to, and they're
not good, you said.
At tweeting. No. It's not that they're not good at tweeting. It's that they usually have to go through a PR person who then makes it okay. But they have direct access, and so a lot of times they're idiots, and it's wonderful. That was my point.
Yes, it is. That's my point.
Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of idiots, Tyra Banks is apparently going to be the advisor on the newly rebooted Celebrity Apprentice show on NBC. She will serve as advisor to Arnold Schwarzenegger as they decide who has succeeded in the challenges and moves on in the competition.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
Now this makes me feel bad because I was looking forward to watching this.
Right.
Now I can't.
She deal breaker?
She's unbearable.
Yeah.
She's completely unbearable. Just on every level, unwatchable.
Now, will she be on camera, or is this
an advisory
position? Tyra Banks. What do you think she's
going to do? It's going to be a disembodied voice that will just float around the boardroom. No, it's like Ivanka was, when Trump had it, his daughter and his son and his lawyer, they would go out in the field and be correspondents, in essence, advisors, and go out and check up on the projects and stuff like that. And Tyra Banks will participate in that capacity. Which just makes it awful.
Yeah. It may have been awful anyway.
Well, but in the best kind of awful. This makes it the worst kind of awful. Also joining Banks in those roles, Steve Ballmer of your beloved Los Angeles Clippers.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer will also be a participant as a correspondent slash advisor.
Yelling at people about how hardcore it is.
Yeah. Jessica Alba.
Ooh.
Co-founder of the hottest, not the hottest, the Honest Company.
Both.
Freudian slip. Entertainment attorney Patrick Schwarzenegger. And business magnate, philanthropist Warren Buffett will all be chiming in as well.
Warren Buffett?
Yeah, I guess he's got nothing better to do. Anyway, here's your cast. Here's the people who will be competing in the first season of Celebrity Apprentice hosted by Arnold Schwarzenegger. Layla Ali. Oh, we're starting off great. Big star Layla Ali.
Mm-hmm.
Brooke Burke, who used to be the co-host of Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
Boy George will unchain some young man long enough to get into the boardroom with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Johnny Asshole.
No, he did not make the cut.
Oh, that's too bad.
Matt Eisman, American Ninja Warrior host. VH1 personality Carrie Keegan. Any of these ringing a bell?
No,
names?
Not that one.
Finally, back on television, Queer Eye for the Straight Guys Carson Kressley will be participating. Former WNBA MVP Lisa Leslie.
Okay.
And Saturday Night Live veteran John Lovitz. I can tell you right now, he's going to lose. He's a horrible businessman. I watched him send his comedy club right down the toilet with his bad business choices. So I guarantee you he will not make it to the end.
Think he's first out?
Vince Neil. Motley Crue frontman, Vince Neil.
Look, we have to watch at least the first one, right?
Snooki!
I don't have a choice.
Snooki! Snooki!
What are you saying?
Snooki! Nicknus! Real Housewives, Kyle Richards and Portia Williams. Chael Sonnen.
Chael Sonnen, oh.
MMA fighter Chael Sonnen.
He's such a smack talker.
Retired NFL running backs Ricky Williams and Eric Dickerson. And Wilson Phillips singer Carney Wilson. These are your participants for Celebrity Apprentice, Celebrity in Name Only.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She canceled at the last minute. She will not be participating. So there's your lineup.
I feel like that might be disastrously good.
What a batch of has-beens and never-wases, though. I mean, usually, on at least with the Trump version, you had somebody of some note.
Sometimes.
Somebody who used to be at least the top of their game.
Yeah. Vince Neil's probably the biggest name on that list, right?
I think you're right.
And Steve Ballmer is...
But
well,
he's not participating.
He's not a contestant.
He's not a contestant.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not a great lineup.
It's not good. You've been terminated.
That's,
what are the odds he says that at the end of the...
At 95%. Every episode, yeah.
Yeah.
That's going to happen.
And you haven't seen the last of Han Solo. He's back. Harrison Ford is in the news. He'll be unveiling the new Star Wars-themed lands coming to Disneyland and Walt Disney World as part of an ABC upcoming TV special, The Wonderful World of Disney, Disneyland 60, celebrating the 60th anniversary of that magical place. The special will air next month on ABC, Sunday, February the 21st. Harrison will be there talking about all the new plans for the Star Wars lands in the theme parks. Elton John will also be on hand.
Do you know if they're going to subtitle Harrison?
Harrison's part? I don't know.
Nobody's
saying. Josh Gad, Whitney Carson from Dancing with the Stars will do a number with Derek Hough. Oh, this show's got everything. So you can tune in if you're a Disney file. And see Harrison talk about the wonders that will be Star Wars land.
Well, he'll bring it to life.
Lightsaber churros.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Alan Alda's 80, Sarah McLachlan's 48, Joey Fatone is 39, Elijah Wood's 35 years old, J. Cole, the rapper, is 31, Will Poulter from The Revenant and Maze Runner, 23 years old, and actress Ariel Winter. She's 18 today, of course, from Modern Family. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Welcome to 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Don't play all the banjos as Rome's coming on. He's not going to know what kind of show he's on now. It's got to be so confusing for him to come on after that.
Jim Rome airs 9 to noon on The Beast AM 980 and joins us every Thursday about this time on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, sir?
Y'all don't hate on banjos. I know exactly where I am. I know what that was. I know what's going on. I know what time it is.
But they're banjos. We're clear on that, right?
Yeah, they sound great, too.
It's great to talk to you. I can't believe here we are ahead of the Super Bowl, yet football is not our top story right now because there's so much drama going on in the NBA. And, Jim, we have not had a chance to talk to you yet since all the Blake Griffin news broke. Would you mind just giving us a quick synopsis for listeners who haven't been paying attention what turmoil there is in the Clippers locker room right now?
I would not mind doing that at all. So you've got Blake Griffin, who just did maybe the dumbest, lamest thing I've seen a star athlete do in a very long time. He is the face of an NBA franchise. He is one of the faces of the entire league. He is an MVP candidate, a perennial all-star, and he is now out 4 to 6 weeks because he broke his hand trying to break the face of the equipment bro. That's your synopsis.
He gave
the assistant equipment guy the hands. I mean, that is an embarrassment and a terrible look for him. Guys, the problem I have with this, aside from he's now already out a month and now an additional month, if you ever watch this guy play, he's got other guys in the league taking liberties with him all the time, pushing him around, abusing him, and he never does anything, but he gave an assistant equipment bro the hands, who's half his size. Now, and that is a bad, bad look.
Now, what do the Clippers do? He's out 4 to 6 weeks. They need to, of course, you know, fine him or suspend him or whatever, but do you want to hurt your team even more than a month? What do they do?
They're investigating that. The NBA is investigating that. So even if the Clippers do nothing at all, the league might come in and fine him and suspend him. Now, he's already out 4 to 6 weeks, and his coach Doc Rivers said he's skeptical that a guy could come back that quickly from a broken hand anyway. So when they finally do get him back, the NBA may smash him and they could be without him even longer. Hey, Blake, maybe you think about this before you punch the equipment bro in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot believe that that guy is in that situation. It's 100% inexcusable.
Yeah, and what's weird about this to me is that these guys were friends. They weren't just colleagues. They weren't just coworkers. These were the kinds of friends who go on vacation together, and they're out to dinner in Toronto. And what do you suppose went down, Jim, that would have led to a fist fight of the kind that you break your hand hitting somebody in the head?
The $64 million question, right? Everybody wants to know, what the hell happened? How does that happen? What went down? Guys, I can't speculate. I wasn't there. There were some witnesses who said these guys were throwing drinks. I would imagine maybe possibly that had something to do with it. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's just one of those deals where guys were talking junk and they had too much to drink and that thing escalated very quickly. I don't know. I just know that if you're Blake Griffin, superstar athlete, you cannot put yourself in that position. You know, if these guys have that kind of relationship where they talk a little junk and it got out of hand, it can't get to that. That guy can't do that.
Yeah, you just can't. You just have to walk away.
Can I just say one thing? It's not one of those things. You know, it's not like bros being bros. That's not one of those things. That is stupid. That can't happen. He put himself and that organization in a bad spot. And now when the Clippers ask themselves, why do people hate us so much? That's one of the reasons.
Yeah, as you are famous for saying, definitely not a good look. All right, let's go to another franchise that is in turmoil a little bit, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, is this true that this is the first time a coach has ever been fired from an NBA team while his team was in first place in the division?
Hey, by the way, first place in the conference. First place in the conference. Just to backtrack.
He had
them in the finals last year. They had the best record in the Eastern Conference this year when he got whacked. So now there's a sense that LeBron must be a coach killer, right? Yeah, not really. Let's not get this twisted. I mean, if you want that guy to coach that team, Blatt would still be there. But obviously LeBron didn't, and if you believe some of the noise coming out of Cleveland, you can see why he didn't, that the coach would freeze up during timeouts, that he would draw up plays for guys who weren't even in the game.
Really?
That he refused to, yeah, for real. And he would not criticize star players in film sessions. So my feeling is LeBron didn't have to kill Blatt. Blatt offed himself. If you're going to coach in that league, you have to get along with your star players. You have to have their respect, and Blatt didn't. So, of course, LeBron fired him and replaced him with his own dude, Ty Lue. And one more thing, Golden State went into their house and kicked their ass. Another reason why Blatt got fired.
And a player like LeBron is not just physically gifted, but he has a very high basketball IQ, and you have to be smarter than him to coach him, right?
At least have his respect. at least have his respect. This is not unusual. I mean, these alphas, this is what these guys do. LeBron's got a hammer in his hand. He's got as much or more power than anybody in the organization. Kobe, similar. You see Kobe the other night when he's fully dressed, plain clothes, and he kicked Larry Nance off the bench? I mean, yes. This is what these guys can do. You don't think Magic did that? You don't think Mike did that? Alphas can do that. Why does anybody do anything? Because they can. And trust me, in that house, LeBron can do whatever the hell he wants.
Yeah, and let's not forget, by the way, that LeBron James has a lot of coaches who have won gold medals with him in the lineup, who have won championships with him in the lineup. I mean, it certainly is a relationship that can work. It's not like he's trouble and nobody can get along with him.
Well, the problem is they hired the coach before they brought LeBron back. You would never do that. That's backwards. If you're going to get, if they thought they legitimately had a chance to get LeBron, clearly you want his blessing on a coach. But they did that thing. They inverted it. They did it backwards. So that thing really never stood a chance. Blatt did not play in that league. Star players generally do not respect guys that haven't played in the league unless you're like Greg Popovich. So, look, if Ty Lue were to get fired before his contract was up, then maybe we could talk about this guy being a coach killer. But until I see that, LeBron's fine.
A lot of people hate this idea, but LeBron is more important to that franchise than any coach.
Way more important. Way more important.
I mean, LeBron's that's just the way it runs.
No, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's the guy wasn't getting it done. If you're putting guys into the game or drawing up plays for guys in the game that aren't even in the game, you probably are not fit to coach that team.
I could do that.
Right?
Right? All right. In our remaining moment with our friend Jim Rome on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to end on a lighthearted note. And believe it or not, it involves baseball out of season. I love this story, Jim, that you're talking about Derek Jeter. Can you share?
Not everybody knows this story, guys. It might be the best story ever. That Derek Jeter would allegedly give gift baskets to his one-night stands the morning after. All right? Now, not just gift baskets, but gift baskets with his own memorabilia. Now, Jeter himself, when that story dropped a couple of years back, denied it. And now his fiance, Hannah Davis, says it's not true. She told a Dallas radio station, quote, "I never received a gift basket. That's all I can tell you. It's really sad that someone could believe something that's such a stupid story and makes no sense," end quote. Guys, credit for being a good sport in the interview. But two quick points. Number one, just because you did not receive a gift basket doesn't mean nobody received gift baskets. And number two, that is not a stupid story. That's the greatest story ever. And I don't care how many times they both deny it.
I just love the idea of a lady taking the cab home after a one-nighter with Jeter.
All right. First of all, it was not a cab. It was a town car. He gave them town cars.
And then getting back to her apartment going, well, at least I got an autographed baseball and a poster. I just love the idea of that so much. That's
exactly.
Great.
What's not respectful about that? Merch, all right. Memorabilia.
Jim Rome Show airs 9 to noon on 980 The Beast and JimRome.com on Twitter @JimRome. You are the best, my friend. We'll do it again next week. Thank you.
You all have an amazing week.
Thank you, man.
I wasn't expecting this is how it was going to go, but Charlotte Newhouse comes in with Jillian Bell. They're talking about Idiot Sitter and Comedy Central. And the last 3 minutes, mm-hmm. Jillian has been trying to talk Charlotte out of swearing on the air. Like, apparently that's a real concern that we should all have right now is Charlotte's potty mouth.
I'm just going to try not to talk.
Don't talk at all, Charlotte.
So that's an issue, huh?
Yeah, I feel one coming already.
Oh, I can smell it in the room.
Well, welcome, ladies. Try to behave yourselves. The show is called Idiot Sitter on Comedy Central. It's aired for the last couple of nights. It is a Thursday night at 10:30 p.m. show. Congratulations, first of all, on having the show on the air.
Thank you.
And I am fascinated by, and I don't know, you guys tell me you're in the business. We're not. How this Comedy Central thing works. So you make the show for the website, and then if enough people watch it, they put it on the air? Is that how it works?
Not always. In this case, we pitched it as a TV show. They weren't quite ready to give us that, so they gave us the web series, and it's a good way to incubate a show and sort of see the world without doing just one pilot and see, like, what, you know, audience reaction is. So we got it from that.
Seems like a much better way to judge a series than a pilot, too.
I think so, yeah.
Absolutely.
I think it's the way people are going.
Yeah, and in a way, though, I mean, isn't that such a win for you and Comedy Central? I mean, they should have known it was good enough and should have gone on the air in the beginning, and they didn't. And you kind of proved them wrong by how well it did on their website, right?
That's what we always say to them. We say, we proved you wrong.
Right.
So hard.
You jerks, you gave us nothing.
You gave us a web series.
Now, what's the budget like for a web series versus a TV show on Comedy Central?
I was just about to curse.
TV show was bigger.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. Well, well, no, but he's saying a regular network and Comedy Central. What
no,
is the
he
budget?
Said web series.
I did
oh,
say
you
web
did?
Series. I did say
oh,
web series.
Oh, I heard something else. I'm also on another radio show. You're on my time. I'm doing two interviews.
Wow. You got Seacrest in one ear, we're in the other. It's very confusing.
Oh, Seacrest. Oh, he's making me laugh.
Is he doing the roses thing?
Yeah, he's doing
the roses.
I bet he is. I love it.
I bet he is.
I love the roses.
No, yeah, the budget is better, I will say, for a TV
but
show.
But I'm saying the web series. Like, when you're doing the web series, is it just make do with whatever you can? Or?
Actually, it was a little better than we thought. Okay. Like, we had vans that were driving us from our car to the location. We're like, this is fancy. And then someone printed on a piece of paper, idiot sitter on the side of the van.
This
we're like,
hello,
yeah.
This is how low maintenance Jillian is. It's like, it's a van with a printed piece of paper. That's how I imagine.
She's very
that's
excited.
It.
I'm like, legit.
But
legit.
We did have to do it all in the web series was all shot in 6 days. So
wow.
We did have a very limited amount of time.
Yeah,
to do
six
it.
Episodes in 6 days.
Oh. For people who haven't seen Idiot Sitter, tell them about it. Describe the show.
Take it away, Jillian.
Oh,
take it away,
I knew Jillian. You were going to do that.
Well, I don't want to cuss.
Yeah, we don't want her dirty
well,
mouth.
Charlotte plays a woman named Billy who is like stuck in a life of academia, and she gets out of grad school and has a bunch of student loans. Who can't relate to that?
Right.
And so she takes a position being a babysitter for a wealthy family, and when she shows up, she finds out that I'm the one she's sitting. I'm on house arrest.
Not exactly babysitter.
No.
Yeah. And your family's rich.
Yes.
And all of your family is hateable slash lovable,
right?
Right. Like I would say that's true.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the dad,
Stephen Root.
Stephen Root is great in everything he does. Yes.
Isn't he perfect?
Yes, he is.
I mean, he could do anything. Yeah. He's brilliant. We were so lucky to get him.
Seeing him in this back to back with Boardwalk Empire, you can't believe it's the same guy. You know what I mean? Because he's just so great.
Now, what's Boardwalk Empire?
It's a game, Charlotte. It's a board game,
yes.
Clearly.
Try and keep up.
Where did you guys created the show together? Do you remember the day or do you remember how it came about that you thought, ooh, this would be a great idea and it hasn't been done before?
Yeah, it's really unsexy. We met at Groundlings. We did sketch together. We decided we wanted to write something for TV. And we were like, well, what would be cheap? What would be attractive to a network? Because it wouldn't cost a lot of money. Let's do something that's one location. And that was the genesis.
Although, okay. To make it more sexy, we were in lingerie.
Oh, yeah.
When we thought of it.
When you thought of it, you were in lingerie.
Mm-hmm.
So is that partly why, Jillian, your character is under house arrest? Is just so you can shoot it all in
yes,
a house?
Yes, exactly. That's totally. That was the first thing
we're
thought
like,
of.
Why would they stay in one location?
Yeah, house arrest. That was the first thing.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you very
are
much,
you saying
camera in the sky.
We're brilliant. We're brilliant?
No, just that idea, that one idea.
Oh, got it.
Well, we might get there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know.
And you didn't even rent a house. You just are squatting in one that you noticed was empty in the neighborhood, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they were on vacation. It was like Beverly Hills.
Anytime someone would walk by, we're like, go, leave the house, leave the house.
Well, the show is very funny. It is called Idiot Sitters. It's aired 2 times so far. Now, are there only 6 episodes total?
There are 10.
There's 10.
10 altogether. Oh, okay.
And,
great.
And the one that airs tonight.
It's great.
It's kind of our favorite.
It's
so we
favorite.
Want everyone okay. to tune in.
Because now, like, the first two, you know, we're kind of at odds. Now we start to work together, and it just gets crazier. The world just sort of explodes. So
you start to work together, meaning you're not adversarial like you are in the first couple of ones?
Yeah, as adversarial.
As, okay.
Yeah.
More or fewer dildos in episodes going forward?
Ooh.
Fewer. More of the real thing.
All right.
Yeah. More, actually,
that's not
you're
a curse
right.
word.
No.
That's not a curse word.
No, the real thing is good.
Charlotte Newhouse and Jillian Bell are here. We're talking about their show Idiot Sitter Thursday nights at 10:30 on Comedy Central. Quick break. More after this on K-Rock. Between them, they co-created and executive produce and write and act and watch a show called Idiot Sitter on Comedy Central. We're talking about actresses Jillian Bell and Charlotte Newhouse in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. The show airs Thursday nights at 10:30. Hey, Charlotte, you mentioned that you guys met at the Groundlings.
Uh-huh.
That's still going. We don't hear about it much anymore on a week-to-week basis in Los Angeles, but so many people still come out of the Groundlings. What is it that's so exceptional about that place?
I think it's just – it's a pretty stringent program, you know, to like sort of get – you have to – take classes. Then you have to be in the Sunday company, which is sort of like the JV team. Then you have to make it through that then to the main company. And even if you, you know, drop out at some point, you learn a lot. You learn improv. You learn writing. You perform. It just you get a lot out of it. You get a lot of
it's like going to college.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I say was my college. When people ask,
but most
seriously,
people don't.
I was like, I moved here when I was 18, and I was like, my schooling was Groundlings. That was it.
And most people don't survive it, and by that I mean it just turns out they're either not talented enough or it's too hard, and they drop out and go do something else. I would imagine, right?
No, it's only that they're not talented enough.
No, but honestly, some people like there's people who are, you know, huge celebrities that only made it to Sunday Company. It has nothing to do with anything, you know, like
right.
When you leave or how far you make it, it doesn't really reflect on your career or what you're going to do, which is also nice.
Yeah.
Were these characters that you guys came up with in the Groundlings?
No,
they came up after.
Yeah, our Groundlings characters were way weirder. Oh. I don't think they would survive a TV show.
And very ugly.
Yeah.
And so you have to wait until this is a huge success,
yeah.
And then you can bring those out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To show us.
Exactly.
Jillian, you love playing really mean characters, don't you?
Mean?
Yes.
Oh, because of this and 22 Jump Street?
Yes.
Yeah, well.
And a lot of things.
Well, 22 Jump Street was the first time I really got to play like a mean character. And I was like, oh, this is fun. I only want to do this. Because most of the time I only like audition for, get cast in roles of like women who are like, I love my cat. which is fun at first. But then you're like, okay, I want to do something different.
More like yourself.
Yeah. Oh, more like me?
Burn.
Oh, that's so rude,
Burn.
Charlotte.
Not
I want to talk to you
not
when
true.
We're not on the radio about something specific.
I like that you say the word burn. I like that.
Burn. Yeah. Burn. We say that on the show a lot, too. That's coming. We'll be like, morning burn if it's early. But yeah, I do. It's fun to play someone who's kind of awful.
And this character is awful and rich.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
On house nope. arrest. And
she's also got a sweet side. You'll see it a little bit.
Have we seen that yet?
I don't know.
Feel like we have.
Well, in the
you
first
episode.
Tonight, okay.
The first episode, she chases after her. I think she sees that Billy can maybe make her a better person, or cares, at least. Mm-hmm. And
tonight you'll get it out.
Yeah, tonight you'll see a little bit.
They kind of look like real $100 bills on the set, by the way.
I know.
Are you talking about the one in episode 2?
Yes.
That I take, it was.
Were they writing notes?
That was real.
Yeah,
oh, that was?
Yeah. That was real.
I was like, our props department, let's
no,
give
no,
them props.
No, that was a real one.
How about that? And did you keep it?
No, they wrote all over it. Someone
what?
Did keep it.
Oh.
But it was not me.
Okay. I'm saying if somebody's writing a note about a $100 bill and I come across it, I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's for me.
All right. Would you be giving anything away if you were to tell us how Andrew W.K. makes an appearance later in the season?
I don't know. I don't know what we should say
can
about
I guess?
That.
You're having a party.
Yes. Yes.
We are having a party.
A specific kind of party.
A specific kind of party.
Yes.
Are you partying hard?
I would say we're partying hard, yes. Uh-huh. I mean, if Andrew W.K. is there. He's so interesting, too. I really like him.
Yeah, we've had him on the show a bunch of times. He's really fun. I mean, he is dedicated to partying, isn't he?
Yes, he yeah. is. And he's actually a really sweet guy. Like, we had to hang out with him. We had to. Till like 6 a.m. one night slash
yeah,
morning.
Yeah, it was all night shoots, his episode.
Yeah, and we got in the funniest conversation about if when you... when you're going to the bathroom.
You and him. Don't say we as in I was
no, no,
part
no.
Of it.
Charlotte was not.
Right.
If the two of us were talking about when you go to the bathroom and your legs fall asleep because you've been sitting on the toilet too long. And
okay.
It was so funny because I was like, yeah, that's totally a thing. And we were talking about it. And then everybody that would walk by were like, that's a thing, right? And all guys would be like, yeah,
that's
a thing. And all the
girls
women
were like, what are you talking about?
And I was
about?
Like, oh my God, I'm such a man.
So it's all the guys and you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever had my leg fall asleep.
Yeah, neither
really?
Have I.
No.
She always talks about it. She's like, yeah, you know when your outer legs fall asleep? I'm like, what? No, you're just sitting.
She says it like everybody does it.
Yes.
I don't
well,
know.
Well,
because
you
want to
do like activities on the
what?
Toilet. Like,
what
do you
look
talking?
At your phone.
What do you
mean
you want to do activities on the toilet?
Like you want to look at your phone and then you get interested
oh,
in like
chilling.
An article and then you're like, oh, I've been sitting here too long.
I feel like my policy is get off.
I like that the other woman in here is laughing. Has this happened to you?
No. Chip.
No, come on.
Chip, truth.
Because you said you do activities on the toilet.
No, activities.
A lot of people read a magazine on the toilet. That's not an activity.
They don't call it an activity.
Yeah, I like calling them toilet activities.
You don't play tennis on the toilet.
Jillian considers that activities. Exercise, okay?
Yeah, that's an exercise for sure.
Well, look, you've just thought of a plot point for season two, you guys. Yeah. Somebody falls asleep. Sleep on the toilet.
I think we actually do
mention it in episode 6. She bonds with someone over it.
Well, that's a beautiful thing to bond over.
Well, we wanted to have you guys come down here because it has never been there've never been more options for entertainment in the world today, and it's almost impossible to get the word out when you have a new show, there's some sort of word of mouth. And that's why we kind of wanted to spread the word, because the show is very, very funny, you guys. You should be very, very proud of it. Thank you. And we do know a little something about the Kevin and Bean listeners, and this show is right up your sense of humor. You guys, seriously, you got to check it out. You can watch the first two episodes on ComedyCentral.cc.com, but you should be watching it Thursday nights at 10:30 on the channel. And we're very excited. Congratulations, guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
You bet. We are all going to die, and we're going to tell you about it right after top of the hour with Dr. Drew. We're all going to die, though. That's the important part.
Wait, we're all going to die, but you're not going to tell us now? We got to wait for 10 minutes so we talk to Dr. Drew?
Dr. Drew's coming up.
I hate to break to you, but I think we already knew we were all going to die.
Tonight.
Oh, well, then you buried the lead, didn't you? You can't just say, oh, we're all going to die. That's a given. Tonight, that's the news right there.
This is pretty critical.
Wait for 15 minutes, and then we'll give you those details.
Okay, so you're going to make us waste 15 minutes, then we have so little time left.
Yeah, the next 15 minutes has to be wasted talking about Tyra Banks? Kidding me? I'm out of here.
That's how we do it.
I got some living to do.
That's how we do it.
I got to pack as much life as I can into the next 12 hours.
You're mean, Kevin.
Just saying. Heads up.
Tyra Banks is coming back to television. What will it take? What petition do we need to put up on change.org? How do we have to band together to keep this from happening ever again?
I thought she was done. I thought her Top Model show was gone, and then that other show she was doing during the day was gone.
Yes.
And by the way, she just adopted a baby, too. Isn't she plenty to do at home?
Just when you thought you were safe, it's been announced that Tyra Banks will be co-host/advisor on the Arnold Schwarzenegger-led edition of The New Celebrity Apprentice on NBC. We can get Tyra's take on
it. Oh, it's going to be so helpful.
All things business.
It's going to be so helpful.
Okay, first, be a supermodel and make a lot of money, and then start a business.
And then she'll say,
I have one thing to say to you.
What's that?
Kiss my fat ass.
That sounds like a poor business model. Would that be one of the challenges of the Celebrity Apprentice to raise money for charity? Jessica Alba. Steve Ballmer. Yeah! Warren Buffett will also be assisting Arnold guide his contestants through their various challenges as they try to stay employed to become the next celebrity apprentice to Arnold.
This show is nonsense, right? Even at its best. Warren Buffett.
You and I think so much together. It's like we're twins. Ah, Warren Buffett.
How did Warren Buffett get pulled into this?
Well, he knows a thing or two about business.
Yeah. I know, but why would he do it?
Maybe he wants to bone Jessica Alba.
Huh? Okay.
Maybe they dangled.
Good enough.
Old J Alb in front of him, and that was enough to get him to sign on. She still goes by J Alb, doesn't she?
I don't think so.
I don't think she ever did, Ralph. I think he just made that up.
Here's your cast, people who will be competing on the Celebrity Apprentice Arnold edition. Layla Ali, former professional boxer.
Is that Muhammad Ali's daughter.
Yes. Okay. Muhammad Ali. Okay. Brooke Burke, Charvette. Oh, who knows? She used to E a lot and Dance with the Stars. She was the co-host there. Boy George.
Okay.
Matt Eisman, host of American Ninja Warrior. Carrie Keegan from VH1. Queer Eye for the Straight Guys, Carson Kressley. Lisa Leslie from the WNBA. And Saturday Night Live veteran John Lovitz.
Yeah, that's the ticket. I'm going to raise money for charity. Thank you.
Vince Neil from Motley Crue. Snooki.
Kyle. I'm sorry, you just said Snooki.
Yeah.
Did you mean that?
I did. Kyle Richards and Portia Williams from the Real Housewives shows. Chael Sonnen, MMA, great. Ricky Williams and Eric Dickerson, former running backs from the NFL, and Carney Wilson.
But there are a few celebrities in there. Not A-plus, but celebrities. A few.
The Boardroom, by the way, used to be located in New York City, of course, when Trump was the host. It has now been moved to Silicon Beach. They didn't even know they had a beach in the Silicon Valley. So the tasks will be more focused on technology and innovation.
Which is our Arnold's strong point.
It is, because I was once, completely made out of metal. I was a robot. It was unstoppable.
So you can look forward to that.
This sounds like a disaster. Yeah. Maybe a good disaster.
Sounds like a Funny or Die sketch, but yeah, apparently it's going to happen. Hey, what are you doing tomorrow night, 10 p.m.? I'll tell you what you're doing tomorrow night at 10 p.m. You're going to go to the Improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I return to the stage with Hollywood to Babylon.
No.
Where we will regale you with our adventures at the Sundance Film Festival, supporting the film Yoga Hosers, and talk about the week's entertainment news. We have a good time. I think you'll enjoy it. Come on out. Go to improv.com for more details and tickets.
Nope.
Not interested. Celebrity birthdays today. Alan Alda turns 80 years old. Of course, the star of MASH for many seasons, but has done a ton of good work since then, including The Blacklist. Oh, The Blacklist is so good. So much good television right now. My head cramps when I look at my DVR list. I'm like, oh, what do I watch? And I just start to get a bloody nose and I lay down for a while, so I never watch anything.
This job is getting in the way of my TV, by the way. Something's got to give.
Oh, you know how I lean. Don't want to go without television, Bean. I'd say more TV for you.
Let's not give Bean a rose.
That's right. Sarah McLachlan, 48 years old. Joey Fatone is 39. Elijah Wood, 35 years old. J. Cole, the rapper, is 31. Will Poulter, talented young actor from The Revenant and Maze Runner. He's 23. And actress Ariel Winter is 18 years old. So great on Modern Family. And, of course, brings my daughter much joy as Sophia the First. Uh-huh. Does that mean anything to you, Sophia the First?
No. What show is that?
It's not Frozen, no. It's a Disney show.
Oh.
Okay. About a young girl who is plucked from obscurity and she becomes a princess. It's very, very exciting. Okay. Trust me, I've seen every episode multiple times. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Zach Hughes from Tustin. Just got tickets to see Weezer, Panic at the Disco, and Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. And got put on the standby boarding list to see Weezer in Amsterdam. Your chance to win is at noon, 3, 6, and 9 p.m.
Let me tell you the word that catches my attention every time, and that is pandemic. When I see pandemic, right? In a story, I know we are talking about something that has the potential to infect millions of people. Multiple. It's going to be that kind of day. It's going to be a long, long day. On multiple continents around the world. And if it gets out of control, it could be the type of thing that ends the world as we know it. And then I calm down and I go, well, maybe I better check with Dr. Drew before I start panicking, because he is the guy who knows all. Hey, Doc, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
It's such a privilege. But, you know, I think how many ends-of-the-world scenarios we've been through. This is actually the one, though. This is it.
This is the one. That's what we're saying. That's our point.
The last time you and I talked pandemic, it was the Ebola. And there was a time in this country, you recall, where everybody was on edge that the Ebola was coming ashore and that millions of people were going to die. And somehow we managed to dodge that. It seems mostly under control in most places around the world, right?
Well, you left out one chapter of that story where I was screaming at you and everybody to calm the hell down. Do you remember that?
Nope, yeah, not at all.
You might have said something about that. But yeah. But what about this time? What about the Zika virus? Because this... The Zika, Doc, is now in at least 25 countries around the world, and there are reports of people carrying it in the United States. Am I wrong?
Oh, my God, they're carrying Zika? Are you kidding me?
That one doesn't work so well.
All right. What is Zika? Why should we be concerned or not be concerned, Dr. Drew?
Thank you for framing it that way. You shouldn't be concerned. It's a mosquito-borne virus that, for the most part, does not do anything to anybody. However, more recently, it's fairly widespread in South America and Caribbean states and whatnot. And down south, there's a recent association with this virus causing very severe birth defects. So if a pregnant woman, particularly in the first trimester, becomes infected, i.e. bitten by one of these mosquitoes, there is a chance that the baby could be born with, amongst other things, something called microcephaly, which is a tiny little head, tiny brain. Yeah. It's awful. It's an awful thing.
So Zika virus, for the most part, is not dangerous to most people, except for perhaps pregnant women.
That, for the most part, is true. For the most part, people that are infected don't even know they're infected. However, much like dengue fever and chikungunya, which, cue music,
Kevin.
I'm ready.
Okay. Much like chikungunya and dengue, it can cause severe illness. Now, those two, you should be very worried about. They cause it.
So wait, so you're coming on to tell me that my fears about the Zika are unfounded, but look out, Kevin and Bean, because there's two more viruses that are similar that are, in fact, more dangerous that we should be worried about.
Yes, that's right.
No, that doesn't do it at all. What are these other viruses you're talking about, Doc?
Well, listen, you know, my Loveline co-host, Mike Cathwood, and his lovely wife went down to the Caribbean, and she got sick, which I, you know, and I flipped out of it. Oh, this is gonna, she did have chikungunya or dengue fever for sure. These are bad illnesses. Dengue is like, people present almost like malaria when they're sick with that. They get really sick. So just if you're down there, don't get bit by mosquitoes. That's number one. Use the repellent.
Okay.
The interesting conundrum though is that pregnant women can't, number one, because of the material in the off or whatnot. Number two, some of these mosquitoes are daytime mosquitoes that live indoors, particularly the Zika mosquito. And so putting sort of mosquito nets up and that kind of thing and protecting yourself at night, you may actually miss and become exposed to the very mosquito that carries these illnesses. So wow. You've got to kind of know your vectors, as it were. Know how these mosquitoes, where they are, and just maybe stay stateside.
How do you know where mosquitoes are?
And by the way, did this mosquito, it's called the Aedes aegypti, has been sighted in San Gabriel Valley.
Now, there's no treatment or vaccine for somebody who gets any of these viruses, right?
Well, there's what's called supportive care. And yes, no vaccine yet. And the supportive care, and most people, I mean, people survive, particularly younger, healthy people. These illnesses, they're not fatal typically.
What is supportive care? That just means you don't feel so bad?
Right. You take Tylenol, you get fluids, that sort of thing. You may need to be hospitalized, but we're not going to give you an intervention, a treatment that cures the illness. We don't have that.
Okay. Now, I see that you're poo-pooing my Zika virus likely being the death of the world, but in all seriousness, Dr. Drew, this is what's going to take us down, is some sort of contagious virus is going to somehow be the end of civilization as we know it, ultimately down the road. Don't you think that's more likely than a comet hitting the Earth or a giant hurricane or something like that?
We've seen The Walking Dead.
Hey, Kevin, bear me up on this. When Bean gets serious like that, he really means it.
Oh, absolutely.
I do mean it. I'm not joking.
100%.
I mean, look, we laugh, but we do live in a world where tens of millions of people have died due to illness in the world. I mean, that has happened in our history. It could happen again, right?
All right, Dr. Drew, how worried should Bean be about that sentence?
Come on, Doc. You're not supposed to laugh at your patients. This is a serious question.
I was hoping for an answer, but maybe your laughter is your answer.
I mean, it is a legitimate concern that some sort of major pathogen could really threaten millions of lives. That's a legitimate concern.
Thank you.
But the concern really is that enough people would get so ill that we would overwhelm our system. For the most part, we can handle all these things. And even the influenza pandemics of the early part of the 20th century, the vast, vast, vast majority of those people would have survived today. The problem is we just didn't have the kinds of treatments that we have, and it mostly kills older and vulnerable populations. For the most part, a healthy person, even if we have a pandemic, is going to be okay. for the most part.
So my takeaway for this, Dr. Drew, as we say goodbye, is apparently the government has gotten to you. They've given you the script, and you're saying what the man wants you to say.
No, of course it's not the government. It's the pharmaceutical company.
Pharmaceuticals, that's what it is.
And we are all going to die.
Sunday through Thursday nights, Dr. Drew is on Love Line along with Mike Hathaway. And, of course, Dr. Drew on HLN Monday through Thursday nights at 6 and throughout the day on KABC as well. Doc, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:38.
We got time for one more look at the showbiz beat with our friend Ralph Garman. Here on a Thursday morning, what's going on, Mr. Garman?
Well, sadly, one important person will not be able to watch The People vs. O.J. Simpson, American Crime Story on FX next month. One who really should watch it, I think. The Juice. The Juice can't watch it.
The Juice can't watch it?
The Juice.
Oh, The Juice.
O.J. Simpson.
Oh.
He only gets basic cable in his cell at Lubbock Correctional Facility in Nevada.
That's funny.
Doesn't get the FX. Doesn't have the full cable package. So we won't be able to check it out until it's on DVD.
I'm the Juice. Whatever that is. I just try to be a good guy.
And that's when he's finally released. They don't get DVD privileges in the Hooskow, in the Gray Bar
that's
Hotel.
Right.
So, Ralph, you know, 33 years from now, he's going to pop in that DVD, and he's really going to enjoy it, I'm guessing.
A lot of people have been wondering what Stephen Avery up there in prison in Wisconsin thinks about, you know, his starring turn in Making a Murderer, which has been the Netflix sensation the past month or so. And no Netflix in jail. He hasn't seen it either, got no access to it, and won't unless he ever gets out. Same deal.
George Clooney's the best.
Is that the whole story?
Well, it's one of the whole stories. He can't resist a dog on down on its luck. No, he could buy a designer dog. George Clooney's got all the money in the world, but no, not the gray fox. He was at the Love Fur Mutts Animal Rescue in Cincinnati, Ohio. And he was getting a dog for his mom, Nina. And he found a 3-year-old terrier named Nate inside behind the bars. And he took video of the dog and said, "I love this dog. I think you will too. Let's adopt it." Nate is a mess. Nate has birth defects, was rescued from a hoarding situation, has one leg that doesn't work, just wobbles when he walks. People would stare, they say, and laugh at him at adoption events. "Ha ha, we will not take you, disabled dog." But not George Clooney. George Clooney adopted that dog and delivered it to Mom Clooney on Christmas Eve. So now Mom Clooney has a effed up dog to take care of. Nice gift, George. How about a bag full of hundreds next time, Mom said. No, she didn't. But there you go. A little down on his luck terrier named Nate now lives in the Clooney household thanks to George Soft Spot for...
That dog scored.
Honked up dogs.
Yeah.
Notice he didn't take it home to a mall in Lake Como. No, Mom in Ohio had it. Right. So he's not that great a guy.
Thanks for nothing, George.
Billy... Joe Armstrong of Green Day is very upset. This according to RollingStone.com. A high school in Connecticut was supposed to do a production of Green Day's Broadway musical American Idiot. But the folks there at charge in Enfield High decided the show had too much sex, drugs, and foul language. So no on American Idiot. Well, Billy's incensed, claiming that's censorship. Plus, the school was going to use a high school edition of the show, which tones down a lot of the more objectionable stuff. And Billy posted on his Instagram, "This production tackles issues in a post-9/11 world. I believe the kids should be heard and most of all be creative in telling a story about our history. No sex, drugs, and bad language for those kids. Instead, they've decided to do Little Shop of Horrors, which features a charming plant that murders people, eats them and chews them up, and the owner has to find victims for the plant and throw it into the man-eating plant and
why
have
is that
it
okay?
Chewed up and dissolved and digested, and features a sadistic dentist who gets
erections upon drilling people's teeth and causing them pain. So you can see they made a much more wholesome choice than American Idiot with its stupid message about America. Why are people dumb?
I don't know. That's fantastic, though.
ABC's picked up a pilot based on the founder of Ford Models, Eileen Ford. It will take place in the late 70s, based on a book by the same name. It's called Model Woman, and it features the famous late 70s Model Wars. Remember the Model Wars? Oh, no. Who could forget? Oh, I'm a veteran of the Model Wars.
I don't remember that at all.
I almost lost a leg up on Bulimia Hill during one very important battle of the Model Wars.
See, Bean, because they're skinny.
No, I got it.
Okay.
I got it.
Story of a tempestuous woman, an uncompromising businesswoman, says ABC, at the helm of an internationally renowned modeling agency, and all the battles therein, forsooth, and to going forward, and such as maps. No word on casting for the show, but I bet it's going to be a bunch of ugly girls.
Yep.
That's what I'm guessing.
Wasn't there a primetime kind of soapy show a few years ago called Models, Inc.?
Models, Inc., yeah.
I believe that was it about a similar Fox? Sort of thing?
I think it was on Fox.
Yeah.
How long did that last?
One season, I want to say.
Yeah, I don't think it was a big hit, but I think it was kind of the same thing about the competitiveness of various modeling agencies.
It's hard. It's hard out there for a pimp and sure. a model. And if you're a pimp who has models, it's less hard, I'm guessing. Hey, let me give you something, because you're nice. We have a very special K-Rock Advanced screening of a great film coming up. I'm really looking forward to this movie. From the talented Coen brothers, it's called Hail Caesar.
Yeah!
It's like a very funny Hollywood comedy about a fixer in the 1950s who has to work to keep all the movie stars in line, keep them out of the press, and what they do when one of their biggest stars, played by that dog saver George Clooney himself, Josh Brolin also stars Jonah Hill, Ralph Fiennes, Scarlett Johansson. Hail Caesar opens in theaters everywhere on February the 5th. However, you will get to see it early at the Groves Pacific Theater. On February the 2nd, if you're one of the lucky callers right now, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers through get a pair of passes to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Hail Caesar. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Alan Alda is 80. Sarah McLachlan, talk about effed up dogs. Who knows more about that than Sarah McLachlan, her with her weepy commercials showing toothless hounds.
She sure keeps a lot of dogs in cages, doesn't she?
She sure does. Open them up. Wow. Stop singing and feed them. Sarah. She's 48. Joey Fatone of NSYNC celebrates his 39th birthday today. Elijah Wood is 35. J. Cole, the rapper, turns 31. Will Poulter, the Maze Runner and the Revenant, he's 23 years old. And actress Ariel Winter from Modern Family. She's terrific on that show. She also is the voice of Sophia the First on the Disney Channel. If you got kids, you know that show. She's 18. Today, I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take care of tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, so we have the movie beat. We're also going to ask you what you do on a daily basis to prepare for an earthquake. Because our own Allie McKay does about four things every day.
Yeah, she's ready.
In preparation for an earthquake. And
when you drive your house around, it's a lot easier than those of us who actually have homes true. Built on foundations.
And one of our favorite comedians, Hannibal Buress, will join us in studio tomorrow
Hello,
morning.
Hello, Clarice.
No, nope, it's not different that Hannibal. Oh. It's a different one. It's a comedian. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.